If you have your Bibles this morning and want to follow along with our text, it's in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Galatians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is a beautiful sentiment, and the phrase living by faith is one that we're familiar with, and frankly, it is one of the phrases by which I hope to guide my own life. And I know many of you are also striving to live by faith, and I thought that this morning I would make some suggestions about how to develop the trust to enable you to live by faith. Because living by faith requires absolute trust in God and certainty that God will take care of us. As human beings, we live with uncertainty and with precarious experiences that are possible. And the longer you live, the longer you will realize that to be true. You never know what a day will bring. Life can turn on a dime, as we sometimes say. Sometimes those problems that we face are created by our own earlier choices. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Galatians that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so we create our own problems by what we decide or what we do much earlier in life. And sometimes these problems that we make are created by the decisions of other people over whom we have no control. There are anxieties created by the unknown nature of the future. There are problems that may stem from our genetic makeup or from our environment factors that pose risk of which we may not even be aware. I think my brother, who of course is a retired doctor, would like to know the genetic makeup so that if there is any genetic problem in our family, he'd know about it. I, on the other hand, just as soon not find out. So he's taken the 23andMe exam that I have not. Often young people feel bulletproof, don't they? I mean, you see things in the news about what young people do, and you think, how could anybody who's rational do that? Every year at the colleges and universities, you will have some young student who dies from an overdose because of alcoholism and frat parties that have emphasis upon drinking alcohol. You would think that anyone who has made it to college would know and be aware that extreme intoxication may be lethal, but evidently young people feel they are exempt from that. There are legitimate activities and anxieties that make us fearful. This is true for the Christian and for the non-Christian as well. How do you live by faith when there are these legitimate anxieties? We are familiar with the story of Job. Job, who maintained his faith even in the darkest periods of his life. We often quote him as saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's what we remember about Job. But I want you to recall to the third chapter of Job something else that he said in verses 25 and 26. And maybe you can relate to that. Job says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. I think about that. What I have dreaded has come upon me, and what I feared has happened to me. There are anxieties about declining physical and mental health. I think all of us who are older, with all the news and the claims about declining mental abilities in the news about our political leaders, have sometimes wondered about ourselves. As one gets older, he appreciates the comfort that Abraham received from God, and God promised him, "You, however, will go down to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." I don't know what that good old age is yet. I hope it's not soon. But what a promise that Abraham had. A life of trust, that's what we're talking about. How do I trust God enough to say that I live by faith and by His word every day? How can I develop that? I'm making these suggestions this morning that have helped me. One thing that can help you is marking and memorizing calming statements from Scripture that will strengthen your faith. The reason why the 23rd Psalm is so popular and used so often is because of that very purpose. It calms us in the most frightening experience. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And then we all are familiar with the reason why it's read at most funerals. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Committing that to memory will help you as you go through these dark periods. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is another passage that I use. It reads, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." I have limited in years past that passage to temptation as an inducement to sin with that meaning. But you know the same word for trial and temptation is used. And so some translations give this, and with equal right, no trial has seized you except what is common to man. And if you embrace the idea that he's talking there not merely about those times when we are induced to do evil, but those times when our faith is on trial, this gives us a stronger trust in God, because no trial has seized us. And that is very picturesque language, isn't it? We're going along very common way of life, and suddenly we're seized by a trial. As Job said, "What I feared has come upon me." And so in those trials of life which seize us, God is faithful, it says, and He will provide for us a way to endure it and stand up under it. My favorite passage from Isaiah has to do with this very theme. I committed to memory, and I have it marked in the flyleaf of my Bibles. It's Isaiah 26 and 3. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." I often recite that if I cannot sleep, if I'm troubled about something, I will claim that promise. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, who trust in thee. A second suggestion for developing this trust in God is not only by memorizing and learning His assurances in Scripture, but learning the hymnal, learning the words to common gospel songs, and maybe even the stories behind them. In July, if you remember, the song leader led the song, Our God is Real. And then Stephen Middleton came up and told us the story behind that song. And that made the song even more real to us. I like to read the stories of the hymn writers and what maybe situation provoked them to write some of the great hymns that I've known since youth. This morning I woke up and I was remembering the hymn Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And that is an old song. It was published in 1887. And I happen to know the story behind that. Maybe that's why I was thinking about it. The writer of that song said he received letters from two of his former students who said that their wives had died. And he was writing letters of consolation to them in their loss. And he was inspired by the phrase in the book of Deuteronomy that says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Underneath are the everlasting arms. The words of that song came to me this morning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then the refrain of that song, leaning, leaning safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Isn't that a wonderful phrase, safe and secure from all alarms? That song should be a part of our subconscious minds that we can call it up when we need it. Abide With Me is another Christian hymn that has a great story behind it. It was written by a Scottish clergyman. He wrote the poem, Abide With Me, in 1847. He set it to music while he was lying on his deathbed, dying from tuberculosis. In fact, he lived only another 3 weeks after he completed putting the music to his poem. And the opening line alludes to Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. That is the story of the two people from Emmaus that Jesus walked with, and they said to him at the end of the walk, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." That was on his mind, and so he wrote the song, "Abide With Me." And those words are important. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Isn't that a wonderful view of our Lord, the help of the helpless? Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. Songs like that, and embedded in the hymns that we have known all of our lives, will give us a greater trust in God. One of the ways that you can create this trust in God so that you will truly live by faith is to affirm for yourself the promises of God. In the book of Psalm 34 said, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." I sought the Lord. That means that he affirmed and sought the promises of God. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Isn't that a great statement? If you have troubles, then you might think, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm not living by faith? Claim this statement. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. One of the Psalms, Psalm 55, is quoted by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Apostle quotes in his letter the words of Psalm 55. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If you have somebody that cares for you, then you know you can go to that person with all the troubles that you face, and that person will somehow assist you in managing those troubles that you find so unconquerable by yourself. And this phrasing by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter of casting all your troubles is like somebody who has a great weight that's about to crush him, and with one final surge of power, he's able to get that weight off of him. So cast it off, and the Lord will take care of you. When I was studying with you the book of Ephesians, we spent some time on chapter 3 and verse 20. It remains a very important verse, I think, for your Christian life. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That statement that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or all that we can imagine is what gives Christians the trust that they have to walk in faith. The fourth suggestion I have is to reflect on your own personal experiences. If you live long enough, you will have gone through some troubled times, and you can reflect on how in those troubled times you were assisted so that you could trust God to see you through those times. And now that you face a new troubled time, that will give you the courage to walk by faith. I love the story of young David and his encounter with Goliath and the circumstances surrounding that story. When King Saul told David that he was too young, he was just a boy, and to think about sending him out against the Philistines' giant Goliath was just unthinkable. And when King Saul told that to David, that he was just too young and inexperienced to Saul to be given this task, listen to what David said. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled and defied the armies of the living God. And then David says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. What is David doing? He's saying, I've had experiences with God, and those experiences that I recall with him give me the confidence to know that in this new task, I will be assisted by the Lord to help. That certainly was true when Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, and he wanted them to remember and to know about what had happened to him in Ephesus, where he despaired of life itself, where he said, I thought I had received the sentence of death. I don't know how many of you have been that close to death, where you just think, I've received the sentence of death. Well, here's what Paul says. That was given to me, that experience was given to me, that I might know that he will rescue me. And he has rescued me, and he will rescue me in the future. And so that gave Paul this courage to live by faith, because what the Lord had done for him in the past proved what he would do for him in the future. Learn from your own experience. Think about the times that you have faced trials or troubles and the Lord rescued you. Learn from the experience of others. It is a wise person who can learn from the experience of others. We don't have to personally experience every problem to know about the problem. In the 40th Psalm, we have this reading. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. You know, I love to read the stories of the people in the Bible, because it gives me, by learning from the experience of others, it gives me greater faith to live by faith and greater trust in God. The book of Job is a narrative about one whose life plummeted from the highest fortune to the very depths of suffering and despair. And we see him struggle with faith in this dark experience. And we see him emerge with an even stronger faith. That's why the book of Job is a wonderful book to read. And the book of Ruth is a narrative about several characters who experienced sorrows and loss, but whose lives counted. Naomi lost a husband and two sons in a foreign land. They were immigrants. They were Jews who left the Jewish land and went to Moab. And while they were there, Naomi's husband died, and then her two sons died. This extracted all the youthful enthusiasm from her face. In fact, her name, Naomi, means pleasant. But when she returned home to Judea, she told the people, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara," which means sorrow and sadness. She had become so sad in her losses and in her experiences that people who knew her from childhood could not even recognize her. And we see her struggle for food and for housing. She's back in her own homeland, but she has nothing. And she knows the greatest anxiety as one becomes older. She becomes very dependent on Ruth, her daughter-in-law. However, before the story of Ruth ends, what we see is a wonderful romance that is created, often guided by the hands of Naomi, as Ruth gleans in the field of Boaz, a wealthy relative. And Boaz is attracted, of course, to Ruth, who is very beautiful. And Naomi conspires to get them engaged and married. In the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, it says it has a scene of Naomi rocking with a baby in her arms. And that child's name is Obed. And he becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of David. In other words, the story ends with Naomi holding the grandson, the grandfather of the great king of Israel, David, and also makes herself part of the lineage of Christ. Listen to how the story reads in the fourth chapter. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, for this day has not left you without a guardian or redeemer. May he become famous throughout all Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age." If Naomi had worried about becoming old and dependent, this must have been an embracing word to her, that this child will become a sustainer of her in her old age. "For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. And the women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, the life of trust, the life of faith, living by faith, does not dispense with actions and preparations that you and I make on our own. That means that one practices financial planning, that one practices healthful habits, that one obtains an education, that one applies himself to his work, and that one lives consistently with the demands of discipleship. But beyond all our own personal efforts in making life good for us, we who live by faith trust in God to help us whenever life turns its ugly face toward us. To review, here's what helps me, and I hope will help you. Find scriptures that strengthen you, and either memorize them or write them so that you can refer to them very quickly. Learn the hymnal. The old songs are the ones that will give you a lot of faith and express your needs. Learn from your own experiences, and remember how the Lord has delivered you before, and as Paul says, that he will deliver you again. Fourth, learn from the experiences of others. Read the Bible. See how God has always been there for those who live by faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is the chapter to read to show you how that God has blessed those, beginning with Abraham, who have trusted him and who live by faith in God. I want, as I'm sure you do, every day of my life to be the embodiment of Jesus to somebody. As our opening text said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live in the flesh, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What a wonderful life it is, and I commend it to you. We're going to sing two verses of this closing song, and if we can assist you in prayer, or if you have a desire to confess your faith and to be baptized, or any other need that we can assist you with publicly, we invite you to come to the front. Always stand to sing.